This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello there and welcome to episode number 172 of Youpreneur FM, the podcast place to be. If you want to learn how to build a business, a truly long-term successful business based around your personal brand. So if you're a coach, author, speaker, consultant, blogger, podcaster, whatever the case may be, if you are focusing on building that profitable business based around your personal brand, your story, and the people that you want to help the most, this is where you need to be. And if you haven't already done so, I suggest you hop over to chrisducker.com/launchpad to get instant access to my free video course entitled The Youpreneur Launchpad, which will give you all the tools, techniques, and tactics that you need to be able to catapult your personal branding business growth to a whole new level. I want you to go ahead and one more time check it out at chrisducker.com/launchpad. So today we sit down with the one and only Peter Shankman. Yes, Peter's been on the show a couple of times before. One of my favorite guys to talk to when it comes to customer service and PR and getting eyeballs on us and our businesses. However, today we take a little bit of a weird turn. What we're doing actually is focusing on Peter and his philosophies of building a business that he's had now growing for several years based around his personal brand and the people that he wants to help and serve. It was actually a very interesting conversation, this one with Peter, very different to our usual more kind of how-to type conversations that we have with each other when he's on the show. But I wanted to highlight this one because it really is kind of like that kind of fireside chat where a couple of people sit down and genuinely talk about what makes them tick and why they do the things that they do when it comes to business as well. You're going to really enjoy this one, and you're probably going to need those notepads and pens ready as well. Here's myself and Peter. So, Mr. Shankman, welcome back to the show.
What a pleasure to be back. I've missed you, Chris.
Yes, it's all your pleasure. It's all your pleasure. It's great to have you back on the show, man. And for you guys tuning in, Peter has been on before. You may remember the first time I ever interviewed Sir Peter Shankman way, way back in 2010. Yes, we're actually still talking to each other, even though we've known each other 6 years, where you decided to just make a cup of coffee. And we always reference this because we have to. We always bring this up because we just have to. You decided to make a cup of coffee mid-interview, and we left it in there because that's just the way we roll on this show. But more recently, you were back at episode 106. The title was How to Become a PR Ninja, and it's still one of our most retweeted episodes from the show as well. So we're pumped to have you back on again, man. And, you know, this is cool. I've seen you, you know, once already this year. Obviously, you were over in March for Tropical Think Tank, where you did the opening keynote, the first time ever that we have had a standing ovation at an opening keynote for that event. How did that feel? How did that standing ovation feel?
I will not lie. It was kind of nice. It was a pretty good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because I believe that keynotes are direct, especially for opening keynotes, are directly related to the kind of audience you have. Because, you know, it's one thing to do a closing keynote where you've had great speakers who have pumped up and gotten you ready and all that. But when you're opening it, it is really a lot about the quality of the audience. There has to be the connection. There has to be a click there. And so making that and seeing that people actually got into it and really liked it, that just thrilled the hell out of me. So totally, totally good with that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, and we've had joyous raptures of applause and things like that. And we pretty much do at the end of every presentation, as you well remember. But that was the first time, even I was surprised. Like, I got back up on stage after you were done and I was like, wow, a standing O to kick things off. No pressure to all the other speakers.
Well, that was the other nice reason to start first. And then, because then I could just kick back the next 3 days and be like, see you, bitches.
which you didn't do, for the record. Oh. He was very cool. And for you guys listening in who might be considering Tropical Think Tank for 2017, this episode will be going live at the end of June. We're recording a little bit in advance, but the tickets are now on sale, and they have been for a couple of weeks. So with a little bit of luck, if you're very lucky, there might still be a handful or so remaining if you fancy it. The good news is Mr. Shankman is coming back again in 2017. At the end of every event, we always survey our attendees and we ask them, who is your favorite speaker on stage and who is your favorite speaker off stage? Because as you will probably remember, Peter, there's a lot of offstage activities in regards to, you know, the masterminding and the networking and the dinners and all the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line is you came in first, baby. That's it.
You know, honored and flattered, honored and flattered, and I'll take that as a win.
It is a win. It's always a win. Well, look, what is a bigger win is your career and how you have been able to build an incredible personal brand for yourself, which is now, and we're going to go into this a little later in the show, but which is now kind of paving the way for additional brands to come out. And obviously, we're talking about your new project, Faster Than Normal, which is a podcast, is videos, is a blog, and all the rest of it in regards to unlocking the gifts of the ADD and ADHD brain, for which you are a gifted individual in this world. Am I right?
Well, you know, I think that having ADHD is a gift, and I just really got sick of explaining to people that a lot of my success is due to it, you know, or is at least is due to understanding that there's benefit in it.
Sure.
You know, especially in a society in the U.S. at least, where if you're even, you know, if the U.S. had a motto, I don't think it would be e pluribus eurum. I think it would be more like the you know, if you're different, that's wrong. And,
right.
You know, there's a trait and a trend towards throwing kids on medication the second they appear even remotely different. And I'm just very thankful that what I had when I was a kid wasn't really diagnosed as ADHD. It was diagnosed as sit down, you disrupted the class disease.
Right.
And, you know, I was able to sort of figure out a way to parlay that into a benefit without the use of medication and without sort of anything like that. And not that I'm anti-medication, but, you know, figuring
sure,
a way to make, it,
I get
to make
it, yeah.
it work for me. And then over time, what I realized, I told Brian Clark over at Copyblogger the same thing. The reasons that I'm so successful, or that at least I've had some modicum of success, are the exact same things that make me unemployable in any other situation.
Right, right.
And so I just, you know, I think that there should be more talk about using the gifts of ADHD of ADHD as a benefit and not really as a curse. It's not a, you know, everyone would love to have a Ferrari. You just have to know how to drive it, because if you're used to driving a Honda and you get behind a Ferrari, you're going to smack that thing into a tree.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you have to know how to drive it. Same thing with your brain. We have a faster brain, faster than normal brain, and we just have to know how to use it to our advantage.
Yeah, I love it. And I love what you're doing with Faster Than Normal, and we will get into that a little later on in the show as well. But before we get to that section of things, I really want to zoom in. You know, we've talked about a lot of stuff with you on this show. You dropped an incredible amount of value bombs on the Tropical Think Tank stage, for which the video will soon be uploaded into the Youpreneur community. But I am all about today wanting to see how you've been able to build this personal brand business based around what you do, who you want to serve, your opinions, and everything else. I mean, author, speaker, advising at very high levels, very big companies, consulting, coaching, running your own mastermind events. I mean, you are a one-man business. Give us some of your gold here. You know, how have things developed for you, say, over the time that we've known each other, the last 5 or 6 years? How have things developed for me from a personal brand entrepreneurial perspective?
I think for me, one of the biggest lessons that I learned was that, well, twofold, that you have to do, number one, what's best for you, in the respect that if you are not having fun and you're not enjoying what you do, then you're going to be terrible at it.
Mm.
Okay, regardless of how much you try, how hard you're working, if you're not loving what you do, you're going to be terrible at it. So I think one of the things that I've gotten very fortunate at is that I realized, I sort of learned how to parlay what I love to do into a career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to helping people. I love helping people. I love working with people. I love sort of getting involved with people. But what I find is that what I've learned how to do is parlay what little talents I have into some sort of career, whatever that may be. And the best way I found to do that is to listen to what people want. You know, I think that the number one mistake people make is that they listen to people from the perspective of letting them talk until they stop talking so that they can start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you imagine sort of the concept of people tend to shut up and then that's what we wait for so we can start talking. Everyone loves to talk about themselves. And we all know that. The problem is that we tend to, that's what I put it, we tend to focus on talking about ourselves and not focus enough on letting other people talk. If we could just shut up and listen for about 10% of the time that we're talking,
yep,
the amount that we learn about other people is pretty game-changing. And so I'm fortunate that I learned that. And so I'm sort of able to, I let people talk and then they want to talk and I just let them speak. And then from that, I learn about them and I can use that, I want to say to help them, but also to my advantage. You know, if I'm listening to people and I hear what they're actually saying, as opposed to just waiting for time to start talking again, I can process the information they have and I can figure out ways to apply the talents I have towards helping them. And
yeah,
more often than not, that has real revenue repercussions.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll be, you know, we don't quote unquote publish results of our attendee survey from Tropical Think Tank, but I will say your scores for the mastermind section of that event were off the charts.
Really?
So that, oh yeah, dude, totally. Like some of the highest I've seen in the wow, almost 4 years that we've been doing it. So, I mean, well, three events. We've done three years in a row, fourth one coming up. So off the charts because, and I was there, even though I lost my voice, I was there. I saw you doing what you were doing in those sessions and you were doing exactly that. You were listening and then you were relaying information and ideas back to people. And
you know what's funny? I think a lot of that, you're going to think this is strange, but I think a lot of that, Chris, comes from being ADHD because when you're not ADHD, when you're a normal person, you don't have to think about listening. Listening for most people, listening and talking, it's like breathing, right? It's something you do. You're not aware that you're breathing until I tell you right now, Chris, you're now aware of every breath you take.
Right.
And you're sitting there in your studio going, God damn it, Peter, why would you do that? Now I'm thinking about breathing, right? But that's what we do. So we're not aware of breathing. It's an involuntary response. We're not aware of it until we think about it. Because of my ADHD and because I spent so much time in my life speaking out of turn, talking when I should have been listening, you know, interrupting the class, I've actually had to teach myself how to listen. And I've had to teach myself to do things. So, you know, what's funny is that during those masterminds, not a moment went by where I didn't have something in my hand, right? Maybe it was like five or six of my poker chip business cards. Maybe it was a stress ball. It was something. That's a tool for me. I can hold, as long as I have something in my hand, And I feel, and I'm doing it right now, I have something in my hand, I feel my hand in motion, that I've trained myself, that's a trigger for me to teach me to listen and to teach me not to interrupt and not to speak and not to, you know, to actually focus and process on what I'm hearing. So doing that allows me to listen maybe a little more than a normal person. And it's funny because it's the exact thing that most people with ADHD don't do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I've trained myself to do it, and I guess the result, as you said, is the scores I got on that.
Yeah, no, and you did great. And I mean, also, let's not beat around the bush. You've been doing this for a long time. You've been a coach consultant for quite some time, so you're used to that type of environment anyway. And you run your own sort of type of mini mastermind events every now and then as well, as I do as well. So, you know, it's I get it totally. I get it. Let me ask you this. I mean, when it comes to, I don't know whether we should start talking about making money before we start talking about marketing. No, let's talk about making money. Everybody loves making money.
Everyone loves making money.
So let me ask you this then. I mean, like, it's the end of the year. You're looking at what you've done for the last year. You've seen what's worked, what hasn't worked. Where does Peter zoom in when it comes to the actual monetization of the Shankman brand for the next year? What things are you looking at? Is it just purely revenue sources, or are you thinking about different ideas? You come up with new projects that you know may or may not work. I mean, what's the deal? Like, how do you plan your monetization strategies? How do you actually put them in place?
Oh yeah, I don't have a fucking clue. No, I'm kidding. The joke there is that I kind of don't. I mean, I do tend to do a lot of things, and I see what sticks. But I have principles. I have principles and sort of designs as to how I run them. So, for instance,
right.
I was bike riding this morning. I did an 18-mile ride with a guy named Ryan Schell. Ryan is he's the CEO of a company called The Home Tee. The Home Tee is a line of T-shirts. It started off with just the word home, and then your state, the United States, the state that you're from in the U.S., and it's the logo of the state, you know, the outline of the state, the word home. Had great success with that. He was on Shark Tank, the whole thing. He's expanded out into different lines, different types of shirts.
Okay.
And we were talking about, you know, we ride a lot as soon as it gets warm in New York every morning, super early, around 5 a.m., and we talk about business, we talk about personal stuff, and, you know, we always talk about sort of how our businesses are growing, and we feed each other ideas off each other. It's great. It's like a workout brain session, too. But he always comes back to the fact that he A-B tests this shit out of everything he does. He will not put anything up without having A-B tested it, right? And so he's all about testing, testing, testing. And there's a part of me that really envies that, because I don't have that ability. I come up with an idea, and 7 minutes later, it's live and I've launched it. Now, there's good and bad in both those things, okay? In his world, he's very analytical. You know, I couldn't imagine being married to him. I'd kill myself. You know, it's where are we going to go to dinner? Oh, well, you know, let's examine that. Pick something to eat, you know? But on the flip side, his analytics tend to pay off in his revenue. I come from a different perspective. I'm like, hey, this seems like, I'll get on a plane. I'll say, this seems like a good idea. And on the plane, I'll write the plan and the idea, and I'll have it implemented, ready to upload by the time we land. And so there's benefit to that in the respect that I get immediate feedback. But on the flip side, I think that I could probably make more and generate more revenue and not be so, it just make it a little easier if I did more of the testing. And so one of the things that I'm focusing on for the next year is actually hiring people, a company or a person or whatever, who will do that testing for me. But for me, my basic premise is, okay, I mean, look, I'm very fortunate. I sold a company. I have savings, right? So I'm like, if I didn't want to do anything for a year or two, I could do that.
Right, sure.
Of course, the Jewish New York City kid in me would never.
Not even any of that.
between ADHD and just being a Jewish New York City kid, you know, who grew up with parents who were public school teachers, it's a constant, okay, well, where's my next, you know,
right.
Now what? And so I'm always looking to increase my revenue. And the thing about it is, you know, the concept of passive income is bullshit, right? The concept of, oh, I could just start this business, it'll run itself, is bullshit. Because what you're trading, you know, I could run my master. I have 130 people in my mastermind. I could let it run by itself for a while. But you know what I'm trading on that? I'm trading my personal capital for that. Because if I'm not there making an impact and helping people, and then eventually I'm going to burn up all my personal capital, because people are going to say, well, there's no, what's the value in it if Peter's not involved in some capacity? So for me, there's a that constant middle ground in figuring out, you know, how much I can do versus how much I should hang back. But my goals are always, how can I help people? What can I create that's lacking that can benefit people? It's not about, I mean, look, revenue is a nice thing, and I'm certainly not going to argue that, like having money, but it's very much about, what am I passionate about? How can I turn that into something that will help people? Because I see so many entrepreneurs who come up with ideas about, oh, I want to do this, and I want to do that. And they don't actually think of, well, how does this help the market? Where's your market for this? Who would buy this? Where's the benefit? And I talked about this at the think tank. You know, the premise of creating something and saying, look at this awesome thing I created, is a lot less beneficial to the world than creating something and having everyone else say, oh my God, look at how useful this thing is. So that's what you want to focus on. So I'm constantly listening to people. I'm listening to my audience. I'm reading a ton of information. I'm constantly reading and learning and saying, okay, how can I apply that to whatever? So did a webinar back in October on how I use my ADHD to my advantage. And I thought I'd get a couple hundred people to sign up. I got like 8,000 people who listen to this thing. And from that, I said, okay, there's something there. People want to know about how I use my ADHD to my advantage. Knowing that, how can I turn that into something beneficial?
Sure.
And so from that, I launched the podcast Faster Than Normal. I have a bunch of videos coming out that I can then sell. And I have a book proposal out to publishers right now about turning Fast and Normal into a book. So it's the same thing with Harrow. Harrow started as a way of how can I help my friends, connect my journalist friends with my source friends, and turned into, okay, there could potentially be revenue in here. How do I turn that? So I'm constantly looking for new ways to do things that help people first, knowing the revenue usually comes.
Okay.
And I guess at the end of the day, as long as I'm having fun with it, and that's the other thing, as long as I'm having fun with it, I'm not so concerned that the revenue doesn't come immediately.
Right.
As long as I'm having fun with it, that's enough to keep me going for a while. You know, the revenue will come.
Well, plus, I mean, you know, let's not beat around the bush. You've got the runway in front of you financially. You don't really worry about it too much. And you know, some of us are blessed to be in that position. Some people are not, obviously.
But
I think that's a valid point to make as well. But let me ask you this. Even if you didn't have the runway that you have, if you weren't having fun doing it, you strike me as a kind of guy that even if it could help people, you probably wouldn't end up going full on with it because it just wouldn't be fun. Like, I think fun is an important element of your success. Would I be right in saying that?
Almost more important to me than revenue.
Right.
The revenue is a nice touch. Look, it's nice to have food, right? But, you know, I know people who work 40 years and they're miserable and I don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best quotes I ever heard, if you don't like where you are, move. You're not a tree. Right. And so I think that, you know, I am fortunate to have runway. But on the flip side, you know, and this comes into a time versus priority situation. I know a lot of people who work in jobs and they say, oh, well, I don't have the time to start something new, even though I love doing this thing. I don't have the time to turn it into a passion. Well, I am a big believer, you know, and Chris, I'm sure you deal with this when people leave Youpreneur. I mean, I can't imagine that ever happens because look how awesome Youpreneur is. But I'm sure every once in a while.
No, we look like any other membership site out there. We all have a little bit of churn. Yeah. It is what it is. It's nature of the beast.
I send out a note. I'm like, hey, notice that you're bailing. That's totally cool. We don't want to keep you if you don't want to be here. Just curious why. Hands down, I'm sure you get the number one reason too. I don't have the time.
Yes, always.
Okay. So yeah. I wrote a piece about that on Medium last month because let's call that what it is. You have the time. You don't have the priority.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
And that's fine. I'm not saying you're a bad person for that, but let's understand what it is. You know, everything that you want to do comes at a cost of something else that's not as important. Okay? So if you don't have the time for this mastermind or time to grow your business or time to do whatever, but you do have time to spend 2 hours a night bumming around on Facebook or time to go out to the bars, that's fine, but that's your priority.
Yes.
We all have the same amount of time. We just choose how to use that time. And so that to me is also very important because, you know, I might have 10 ideas in my head at any given time. And with ADD, you most certainly do. And I try very hard to make sure that the ones that are important to me or the ones that are the most fun or the ones that I think can matter are at the top of the list. But I find the time to do it. You know, I run at 3:30 in the morning because it's the only time when I can get 2 hours of a 2 hour block of time where I'm not interrupted, where I'm not being yelled at, where I'm not being pulled in a million directions, where my daughter's not awake, where I can actually go out and focus on my exercise because that's truly important to me. So I make the time for that. Well, how do you do that? I go to bed early. Well, what do you give up? I give up going out.
Yeah.
I don't need to go out to a bar every night or go out to an industry event. I'm in my 40s. I'm too old for that anyway. But, you know, I give up what's not important for the cost of what is. And for me, it's much more about wanting certain things and making the time and making the progression to get them. And I think that applies to every aspect of everyone's life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think priority is something that every personal brand entrepreneur has a battle with because, you know, whether you're ADHD or not, you're always going to have 100 ideas a minute. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a natural progression of becoming a successful entrepreneur. I said, but, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to, you know, you've got to find the time to sit down and actually figure out what your priorities are. Is it the next book? Is it developing a new course that you're going to launch and make money from? Is it focusing in on your public speaking for the next quarter?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, putting on a live event and bringing some of your community together? Is it maybe just focusing in and doubling down on your content that you're going to create to get people's eyeballs on you? You know, all these sort of things. Priority is, for me, even now with as systematized as my business is, as process-driven as my businesses are, man, it's still the biggest issue for me is what do I work on next?
And you know what's so funny?
And it is what it is.
I look at what you're doing and I'm so goddamn jealous. The amount of process, I mean, I remember watching you at the event. You know, you don't take a piss without having a process plan and an SOP for it, you know? And I think that's brilliant. And I'm so jealous of that because I don't have that ability yet. I'm working on it, but – I don't have it yet. And so for me, and that's a very frustrating thing for me, because the worst thing for someone with ADHD is feeling like they're out of control. And so I have a list. I mean, I've gotten into Wunderlist, and it's sort of changing my life. W-U-N-D-E-R-L-I-S-T. And it's great. But, you know, I have, there are, just in my inbox on, alone on Wunderlist, there are 11 things that I want to do, two of which I wrote in March at Tropical Think Tank, and they're not done yet. I'm like, God damn it. You know, and it's like I need that level of process to figure out how to get that done. So I'm quite jealous of you. But yeah, at the end of the day, when you do have a process about that, it becomes easier. You know, again, another one of my favorite quotes, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right. And I will say that the jealousy goes back, because I don't know what floor number you live on, but I know it's ridiculous. And you're in one of the most beautiful cities in the world with some of the most incredible views that you have absolutely no problems at all flaunting on Instagram on a daily basis. And every time I look at it, I think, I might be up in the mountains in the Philippines, but this guy is in New York City. What is it, 50-something floors high you are?
I'm on the 56th floor, and I got very lucky in that when everyone, when Times Square was just about to rebirth, and they opened this building, and I'm like, I'm going to buy a place here, because, and everyone's like, oh, you're crazy, you're in Times Square, da, da, da. But, you know, yeah, I'm very lucky. So at Peter, so I'm Peter Shankman on Instagram, on all the socials.
You are.
Yeah, I do some pretty amazing, because I have a graduate degree in photography, which no one knows.
Okay. So I did not know
amazing,
that. Yeah.
Yeah, 18 credits short of a graduate degree in photography. So I do some pretty amazing photos from my at sunsets and sunrises and things like that from my
That's
windows.
That's cool. Now, okay, before, and I want to zoom in on the concept for Faster Than Normal and how you built it out, what the plans are to monetize and that sort of stuff in a second. Let me ask you one more question before we move into that, though. When it comes to the ongoing marketing of your brand and what you do and the people you serve, what's your number one focus? What's the one thing that you just will not waver on when it comes to the marketing of your personal brand?
Being accessible. So I cannot tell you how many people I've beaten out for speaking gigs simply because I answer my own phone. Simply because when I'm at a conference, and you've heard me do this, I'm at a conference, I give out my cell phone number.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Okay. 646-522-9234. On Skype, it's Geek Factory. I can't preach the concept of zombie loyalism, the concept of great customer service, the concept of all this, if I'm not sitting there believing what I talk about. So I am probably the most accessible person you will ever meet in your life. And the reason for that is because that's all I got. My personal brand and my corporate brand, which are one and the same, they all start from the fact that I am reachable. And if you have a question, you can talk to me. I mean, the whole reason I launched my mastermind was because I didn't have enough time to answer all the people who said, hey, can I pick your brain? So I'm like, well, I'll just do it virtually. And it wound up generating revenue. You know, I have a monthly membership mastermind at shankminds.com now. And it's, for me, I really believe that if you want 10 minutes with me, you get it. I'm not saying I'm like some ridiculous celebrity, successful, whatever, but I heard a great quote from Kevin Spacey once. He said, if you've had any modicum of success, you have a responsibility to send the elevator back down when you can.
And he's quoting, I believe, his mentor, Jack Lemmon, when he says
Yes.
Yeah. And I love that.
I mean, look, I grew up in New York City. I'm a public school, born and raised kid. I didn't come from a lot. And I wasn't, you know, like hurting for money or hurting for breakfast or whatever, but I didn't have a lot. I grew up, I remember getting beaten up because I had store brand batteries, not like Duracells, in my little $20 Sears radio. But, you know, my parents were public school teachers. And the thing about public school teachers in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, in New York City is that you were essentially poor until the day they retired and they became millionaires. Like, they had the best pension system in the world back then. And so, like, the day they retired, they had no idea what the hell to do with themselves. So they're like, holy crap, we have money. You know, but growing up, you know, we took trips. We got in the car and drove to Florida, you know, and like
right,
that.
Did you think? Family. Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't like I knew I had friends in, like, I went to high school with the Wayans brothers, for Christ's sake, and they were already successful, you know, and I went to high school with people whose parents owned, you know, who had private jets and yachts, and I never had that. And so, but the nice thing about that is that public school, I learned to hustle and I learned to get it back. And so for me, how the hell did we get on this topic? For me, what were we talking? Seriously, I just totally spazzed. What were we talking about that got us on this topic? It was about, shut up, Chris.
So good. No, because what these guys listening in don't know is that this, if whether this was face to face or or over Skype, it would be still the same thing.
That's
the thing. Oh, dear. We were talking about how what your number one focus is, and you said accessibility, and then you started talking about Jetson and stuff like that.
Well, whenever I wanted to learn from someone, I'd reach out to them, and I will never forget the people who responded to me.
Right.
Okay? There's a book that you should read called Me and Ted Against the World, and it was written by...
He's Googling live.
The world. It was written by... here we go. It was written by Reese Schoenfeld. Reese Schoenfeld founded CNN with Ted Turner.
Okay.
Okay? And it came out like 2001. When I left America Online, where I was running their newsroom, and I moved back to New York, and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, I started this PR firm. I sold it in 2001. And the first book I read after I sold it was this one. And I'm like, wow, no one talks about Reese Schoenfeld, yet he and Ted Turner were the guys who started the 24-hour news cycle. Except that Ted Turner got all the credit and Reese Schoenfeld kind of faded in the background. So I read this amazing book and I sent an email I found Reese Schoenfeld's email. And I'm like, you know, I know you're in New York City. This is amazing. I just helped start the AOL newsroom. I feel like, do you mind if we meet for coffee? 15 minutes later, his assistant called me back and said, yeah, Reese would love to meet you for coffee. When's good for you? Mm. I'm like, holy shit, this is the co-founder of AOL who wants to have coffee. And that was a game changer for me. And so I've always reached out to people. And the people who reach back, that tells me right there that they're good people. And those are people I want to work for. And those are the kind of people I want to emulate, right? I am trying right now to get some celebrities on my podcast. There are a lot of celebrities I found with ADHD. And I'm trying to get them on the podcast. And I'm finding that the majority of them actually want to do it, but they're being handled by their publicists,
right?
Who are saying, "Oh, well, you know," and it's. I'm finding the roadblock is there. So I never want to do that. That's why I answer my own phone. That's why I answer my own email. I will if we agree to meet. I'm going to pass you over to Megan because I'm that guy who's like, "Oh, I'll have you talk to my assistant," but because if I schedule something, I'm going to fuck it up. The whole reason that I hired Megan is because I was hired to give a speech in Singapore. And I got to the airport after buying my ticket, and they said, okay, Ms. Shankman, so where are you going today? I said, I'm going to Singapore. And they go, okay, but you bought a ticket to Shanghai.
Mm.
And I was actually so in shock that I actually looked at the woman. I said, well, are they close? Can I rent a car? And she said, no, sir, Singapore and Shanghai are not close. But it was that wake-up call. So Megan doesn't let me schedule my own things. So for me, if you want to meet with me, reach out to me. I'm peter@shankman.com, and I'll always answer, and I'll always talk to you. But the other thing that I've discovered, and this is what's great, Chris, is that, you know, when I go out super early and I'm doing my runs and all that, if you want to meet with me and you're going to pick my brain and I'm going to give you some free knowledge, it has to be on my schedule. So if you run, great. Let's meet at 5:30 and go for a run in Central Park. And that right there
is accessibility. I mean, and I want to actually allow me to but cut you off.
People, it separates the people who aren't really serious from the people who actually want it.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And you were doing a similar sort of type of thing. I loved seeing this, actually, at Tropical Think Tank. And for you guys listening in, if you haven't come to the event before, what you don't know, because we don't sort of make it super public or anything, is that we actually have a very private Facebook group for the few months before and the few months after the event for people to, first of all, get to know each other. And then obviously at the event, we do a few, you know, little fun things in there and whatnot. And then obviously afterwards is to keep everybody accountable. But Peter, as the event's going on, is sending up messages to the group for the attendees saying, hey, I will trade you 30 minutes of customer service coaching if you come and accompany me on my run at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And obviously 99% of the people that are enjoying cocktails for the majority of the evening, you're mad, forget about it. I don't need customer service training. But then there are a few that do get up. And, you know, like I remember Kelly Exeter, for example, who's a lovely lady, great writer. Oh, she's so good. And she's been twice. She's coming back for a third time next year as well with her husband, Anthony. Great guys. I should get her on this show, actually. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make a note of it right now. But I remember her coming up to me the morning after you guys had run together. And she said to me, that right there was the best run of my life. Like, I feel like I owe Peter Shankman, like, $20,000.
Really?
For the advice that he gave me. So yeah, there you go. Accessibility. I love it. All right. Let's talk about Faster Than Normal before we wrap up. I love coming up with new projects. I love opening up new doors of opportunity to serve people in the right ways. Obviously, we know why you're doing this. What is the big, scary, hairy, audacious goal with this project, man? Tell me.
For Faster Than Normal, I would love to see the book come out. And I would love to, but more importantly, using the book, using the podcast, using the videos, I would love to change the face of the conversation around ADHD, because people tend to think of ADHD as a curse. And I'm sitting here going, no, guys, this is a benefit. If you know how to use it right, the ability to think faster and do a million things at once can change your life. And I'm living proof of that. And so I just, you know, and I also think that we're over-medicating. Our putting a five-year-old on medication because he's squirmy and not sitting in his chair shouldn't be the go-to. It should be the last resort. The first resort should be, well, maybe he's squirmy and not sitting in his chair because he's five.
Right.
Right. And so maybe we stop putting him on sugared cereals first thing in the morning. We let him run around for a half an hour.
Right.
That's the difference. And so I'm hoping to change the game and change the conversation around ADHD, because, you know, I think that there's and again, I'm not anti-med. I think there's a definite need for a lot of people to be on medication, and I don't question that at all. But I do think that it shouldn't be a first response. And I think that we are potentially medicating the creativity out of our future generation of leaders.
Well, I mean, I have got to know you well over the time that we've been friends, and everything that you have done, that I've seen you do publicly at least, has always been, you know, maybe not as thought through because of, you know, your background and what you're all about as some other people that I know. But one thing is for sure is that you are one of the best that I know of when it comes to really wearing your heart on your sleeve and doing things for the right reason. And that in itself is a massive advantage in 2016 and beyond, because I think way too many people, particularly are way too money focused. And, you know, we can get into the conversation of when is enough and all that sort of BS. But at the end of the day, if money is the only thing that you're caring about, regardless of what you're doing, you will ultimately fail. And I'm a big believer of that. And the way that you do what you do, the way that you do it is just, I just love it. I love watching it. And I'm going to be watching with bated breath to see what you get up to with Faster Than Normal.
Thank you, sir. There's a great line from the movie Wall Street. A lot of great lines in the movie, but one of my favorites is Martin Sheen, Charlie Sheen's father in both the movie and real life, mm-hmm. says, I always said, money is only something you need in case you don't die tomorrow. And
you know, there you go.
I totally believe it. If you're doing what you're doing and you're having fun with it, you know, and you're having a good time, I hate to sound trite, the money will come. It always does.
It always does indeed. And wow, what an incredible way to finish the show. Thank you, Peter, for being with me. I very much appreciate it. For you guys tuning in, more info on Peter and everything is all about over on the show notes, chrisducker.com/episode172. In the meantime, take good care, and I'll be back at you again next week with another insightful interview with another business leader. Until then, goodbye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today.
That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.